Last week, while I was in Ecuador, the Duluth City Council passed an ordinance prohibiting feeding pigeons, imposing a $50 fine on violators. Apparently, one or two people have gotten really upset about the number of pigeons in their neighborhood and complained. Although feeding pigeons on the steps of St. Paul Cathedral in London provides the moral center for the movie Mary Poppins, in real life it's more than a simple question of tuppence a bag. I personally love pigeons. Their ancestors carried messages that saved troops during world wars. My big brother raised them and raced them when we were kids, and I've always loved watching them flying with abandon in the blue sky. Pigeons cause virtually no ecological problems, providing the main sustenance for peregrine falcons and not competing with native birds for food or nest sites. But pigeons do cause some serious human problems. Their droppings are not only bacteria-laden, but several dangerous fungi grow in them, causing human health issues where pigeons nest and roost. And when they're unhealthy in the first place, their moist nasal secretions and droppings can easily spread their illnesses to other birds. They were introduced to America as domesticated birds raised for food and hobby, and though feral populations quickly became established, pigeons have always maintained their close association with humans. In the West, in the mountains, a few pigeons have reverted to a genuinely wild state, as they must have lived in rocky, remote areas of Europe before humans settled in, living up to their name, the rock pigeon. But for the most part, they nest on bridges, tunnels, buildings, and other human constructions, and depend on grain, bread, and other food items associated with people. I'm not sure what has caused the sudden rise in the Duluth pigeon population. We've lived in our neighborhood since 1981, and until 2004, virtually never had pigeons in our backyard, never more than one or two at a time. But in the winter of 2003-2004, suddenly a whole flock of pigeons started showing up on Peabody Street. I do like them and enjoy their wide range of plumages and their sociable ways, but because of my concerns about my wild birds and because pigeons really can be nuisances for the neighbors, I started letting my feeders go dry for a couple of weeks at a time whenever pigeons suddenly became too abundant. They'd disappear for a while, but then suddenly they'd be back again. Pigeons like open, sturdy feeders, or they like to feed right on the ground. So using small feeders or ones hanging from tree branches, you can exclude them without too much trouble. But a more important issue in neighborhoods is where they're roosting. Just as we need to use a certain amount of diligence to build our houses to exclude bad weather and insect pests, we need to take some care to exclude pigeons, especially when we live in houses that have the kinds of nooks and crannies that pigeons love to nestle into. Closing off those crevices is critical to solving the pigeon problem. And when they nest in an attic, pigeons really do constitute a problem. As their droppings collect, more and more dangerous fungus builds up. The ordinance prohibiting feeding pigeons is a start, but if we were really serious about addressing the pigeon problem in residential neighborhoods, we should start with enforcing building codes. As winters grow increasingly mild, the pigeon population will grow. Fining people with bird feeders may make spiteful, righteous neighbors happy for a day or two, but that won't even begin to solve the real problem. Production of For the Birds is supported by KUMD and binoculars.com. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.